So this evening we have the opportunity of learning a really beautiful, beautiful idea. And this is where Rav Chaim Shmulevitz talks about in Ma'amar Nuntes, the notion of what he calls Bakoshas Chachma, which means seeking wisdom, trying to get knowledge. And it's interesting because it's a struggle that we all have. And I just would like to open it up in a few different ways. Let's do the first paragraph and then consider it from some contemporary issues that we struggle with today. So the first thing he says is, and again, we're just going to focus on the primary sources that he says and then just think out loud about the rest. So he points out that in Parshas Vayakhel, there's a description about people who are moving towards this. They're trying to get Chachma. And it says, you should speak to all people who are wise of heart, who I have filled them with Ruach Chochmah, with the spirit of wisdom. So he points out, and again we say, V'asa b'tzalel v'aliyah v'kol ish chacham lei v'asher nasan Hashem chachma usivuna b'hema. And they gathered like a team, their leadership team, of people who Hashem had endowed with wisdom. Which is a very interesting description of how it works. So what he wonders is, like, where does it start from? Where does Chochmah originate from? Like, what's the starting point? Was it that they were smart people, and therefore Hashem gave them more wisdom? Were they wise only because Hashem gave them the wisdom, as it seems to indicate? Like, where does everything start? What's the starting point of this equation? So here's his suggestion here in the second paragraph. His Anu Lemeidim, from just after the underline, he says, She'ez malas chacham leiv tzaricha adam lachin atzmai ubekoichayhu. A person needs to do all their heshtadlos to get there, to try to get the wisdom. Uveleiv asher kozeh. So he says it's a yin-yang. You have to put a lot of effort in to try to get to wisdom, and then Hashem endows you with the wisdom. Right? So you need to be working towards it, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds by giving it to you. That's the way that Racham Shulevitz talks about it. But who is this person? Who is the Chacham Lev? Why Hashem will actually give wisdom? Oh, Jeremy, you got your own sefer. Yeah. Fantastic. It's excellent. It's really an investment.
I got it like 3 months ago, and I just kept forgetting to bring it.
No, it's excellent. It's good to learn from the
side. Is it one volume? Or?
It's only one volume, because it's three years' worth of his sefers. From Tafshin Lamed Aleph to Tafshin Lamed Gimel, where they recorded them.
Oh, you only paid more. 17, I paid 18.
I think I paid less. It was on sale. There was a little bit on sale, $16.50 with tax.
Whatever. So here's what I wanted to explore. Is that, you know, I was just looking, and literally this is the exchange section of the Wall Street Journal from this weekend, and the heading is entertainment overload. So it's a picture of the Oscar looking at a TV set and with all the different apps on it. And the statistics are, like, you know, they're right at the bottom, is that there's 495 new TV shows premiered last year. In 2002, there were only 182. Wow. Right? So, I mean, just think about the increase in the last 18 years. And he said 71% of U.S. households subscribe to more than one streaming service. More than one streaming service. And he said that people are not getting enough just from one streaming service.
Yeah, that statistics messed up Amazon Prime.
That's true. That's true. So you're right. But people do use it for that as well. Yes. So it's interesting. So they're talking about this notion where there's just so much available information to us. And so what Racham Shlevitz is going to hone in over here is that Chochmah in the we'll call it the digital information age, Chochmah is not going to be made up of we'll call it quantitative size of information, but a qualitative investment in that. So that's the direction we're going to be going. And so it's so relevant, because otherwise we're just sitting there basically being fed information. We can't go to an elevator without being fed information. You know, I just walked through LaGuardia last night, and the new terminal in the airport.
Pumping gas. They have
So they have iPads in every single table on the at the eating section. So what I call it is adult pacifiers. You know, say you no longer have to think anymore. You don't even need to socialize anymore. They'll just tune you into some information that they're going to waste your time with, and it'll sort of take up your time. So you no longer have to deal with important questions like, have I been a good person today, or, you know, did I apologize to what I said to our wife recently, or things like that. You know, so there's so much information out there, but there's not very many wise people necessarily out there. And the wise people are not the people who sit in airports watching iPads. One has to think about how this works. So here's his argument. And what he's going to do is he's going to highlight a few people in history. So the people he's going to highlight are Shlomo HaMelech, Yehoshua ben Nun. Later on, we're going to see Othniel ben Kenaz, And then we're going to turn to Eov as well. So four people we're going to look at in history and their perspective on wisdom, on how it works. That's the game plan. So let's open up a little bit at the beginning. The first person, of course, is if you want to know what a Chacham Lev is, the wise person of heart, then obviously the person to do that is Shlomo, who's told to have that specific attribute. In the third paragraph, Hashem nosan Chachma leShlomo kasher diberi, gave him wisdom. Now, what's the background to that? So the Midrash tells us on that based on those pasuk, the following in the next paragraph: Begivon nira Hashem al Shlomo, v'gamim v'yamer elokim she'eshal ma etein l'cha. So Hashem appears to Shlomo in a dream, and he says to him, "What is it you want in the world?" V'yamer Shlomo v'gamim, Shlomo begs for wisdom. V'nosat l'aducha leiv shomea lishpoit asamcho l'avin bein tov l'ra. Give me a hearing heart that I can be the right judge, I can arbitrate between your people. Rabbi, it's just such a beautiful way of describing it. It's not because I want to, you know, write a thesis, you know, be invited to the most important TED Talks. It's so that I can deal with your people, Hashem. Vayomer Elokim Elov, Yan Asher Sha'alta Es HaDavar Hazeh, V'loi Sha'alta Lecha Yomim Rabim, V'loi Sha'alta Lecha Oysher, because you didn't ask for riches or longevity, V'Sha'alta Lecha Lev, you want to understand judgment. Because you asked for it, I'm giving it to you. So that's the story. I think many of us are familiar with that dialogue. So what Rechav Shulevitz does is he digs a little deeper into this. And he says, you see from here a very interesting thing, and perhaps maybe we'll just actually read his words inside, because this is his thesis. His thesis statement is the following, on top of page Reshnun. It's clear from this dialogue between Shlomo Melech and Hashem, as the Midrash is reporting it, Ki Shlomo zocha lechochma ach v'rak. The only reason he had the key to wisdom, ba'avur teshukosoy harbei el hachocho, because he wanted it so much. Koi hishtokek Shlomo lechochma. He so wanted to become wise, ad sheloi bikesh davar acher zu losai. Nothing else superseded that desire in his life. Viviter al osher varichus yamim, va'af ki osher chayim choshuv u'mikol. He gave up on every other request in life in the face of asking for wisdom, even though happiness of in life, let's say healthiness perhaps, is more important than wisdom. Right? I mean, say if a person, Rachman Nitzon, is not well, it cripples everything else in their life. Right? If a person has got things which are clouding their emotional, physical health, it's very hard. That's we'll call it step one. But nonetheless, he says, Shlomo ki ach yoda Shlomo ki achaim beli chachma ein lohem erech v'klal. He says that still he could not live without a life of wisdom, or without being able to understand. Kama shekosav Rambam v'chayei balei chachma mevaksheha beloy Talmud Torah kamisa chashuvim. Those who really are seeking wisdom, who live in an area and environment which is where they it's not available to them, they feel like it's a type of death because they're not able to access it. So therefore, what is the Chacham Lev? Or what is the reason why Shlomo got Chachma? Was not because he was very smart. It was not because he did well in the SATs. It was not because he gave the valedictorian speech. It was because he really desperately wanted it. That was it. Meaning to say that wisdom is interconnected with drive. It's connected to perhaps the way I would say it is passion. Right? Wisdom is connected to passion. That's the only way it works. You need to have that first in order to get to the next step. Right? So most people today, just coming back to information overload, most people today could find access to anything. Meaning today, you could work out how to chop down a tree by just by watching a YouTube channel. I'm saying like you could work out anything. If you wanted to know why the sky is blue, you could find out in a few minutes. If you wanted to find out, you know, how to switch off the pilot light in your water heater, there's no problem. It's all available. Why do most people not know these facts? The answer is because they don't care enough to find out. It's all available. It's all there. Which means to say that the first step to getting wisdom is caring enough to get it. But it's all available. Right? And that's why we have so many incompetent people in a society where there's so much competence around us. There's so much available information. So brilliant, right?
It's because it's so easily, like, so accessible.
It's too accessible, so you don't have to work hard to get it, right? But the question would be, is let's say reverse the generation to where it was less accessible. So even when it was less accessible, still people didn't care necessarily, right? There could have been certain people who cared very much, and they became the greatest physicists and chemists and Talmidei Chachamim, Nahavdil. right? But today we still have that group of people, even though they have the information, right? So having the information doesn't change the fact that if you're not interested in something, you're not going to find out about it.
Distinguishing between wisdom and intellect? I could say all day I want to be...
So the term he is working with is Chacham Lev. Chacham Lev is a little bit of an oxymoron in the sense that Chacham refers somewhat to its cerebral intellect. Lev seems to refer to emotions, which is why when we're talking about the people who are taken on as the leadership team of Bezalel and Eliyahu when making the Mishkan, who were those people? It wasn't people who simply were smart people. It was people who desired Chachma, who were therefore endowed with Chachma. That's the way he understands it. And where do we learn this from? He's the greatest of all, who was Shlomo HaMelech. Why? Because his intimate and most desperate requirement was, or request was, Chachma above all else.
Right, but they say the wisest of all men. You're redefining that.
Right. So
wise means sounds like innate intelligence.
Correct. So it seems like the Chachma that he was able to get was only as a outcome of his requesting it, which means to say the Chachma that matters, it seems to be, is the one that is desired as much. That's his argument. Let's skip a brief paragraph here because he's going to talk about a very interesting episode. It's not particularly on the point of the Chachma. We're going to start the next individual. So we've looked at Shlomo HaMelech. Let's take a look at Yoshua. So he points out that, you know, it, as opposed to many other Jewish points in history where succession seems to be an issue. We Jews aren't very good at the succession business necessarily, right? There's so many fights which ensue after great leaders disappear. Well, when the greatest leader of all, Klal Yisrael, disappeared, there wasn't a succession issue. There was no problem. There was no sons. There was no, rivalry that was occurring. Who was it? It was, in fact, Yehoshua ben Nun, his prime student. Why is that? So take a look in the second last paragraph of Reish Nun. He says, Kach lecha es Yehoshua ben Nun, in the underline, he says, Ish asher ruach bo. He's a man who has ruach in him, who has, like, wisdom in him. What does that mean exactly? Pirusha Sfarna, so Rav Avadia Sfarna, one of the classic Mefarshim on the Torah, says, what does that mean? Muchan lakabel or pnei melech chaim. He is ready to accept sort of the face, the power, the radiance of the living king. Kinyan shekosu v'velev kol chacham lev nosati chachma. Quoting our pasuk in Vayakel, that who is it that you give chachma to, that Hashem gives chachma to? Those people who already wanting, the way he's defining it, we want wisdom. So Yoshua was the kind of person who wanted it and therefore was summoned or was nominated for it. That's his argument. So therefore, going to the next paragraph, let's take the next stage. Let's see how far it goes. How desperately did Yoshua really, really want to learn from Moshe? Kosa Rashi, the end of Parshas Mishpatim. Ki kol mem sha'ayom she'ala Moshe lahar Sinai himtin na Yoshua v'nata shom ohaloi Lamargalois Hahar. So Yoshua planted his tent at the very foot of the mountain, the point beyond which he couldn't go. That's at that borderline was where he placed his tent. Yoan Shom, as you see there. But Kol Kach Lama, Yoshua, what's going on? Why are you there? Right? Nireshu Kadei Shemiyad Imredes Moshe Rabbi Minahar Yuchol Hashem Shoy Lakabel Hemenu. He wanted not to lose even a moment with Moshe Rabbeinu. As Moshe Rabbeinu comes down Har Sinai, he wanted to be right at that entranceway to the National Park of Sinai, right, as Moshe Rabbeinu comes out, and be able to have the conversation with him. U'mishum kach ozav Yoshua es beisoy, es kol Yisrael. He leaves his family behind. He leaves all his colleagues behind. Kol leman revach shel mahalach regaim sefurim min ahar ad machane Yisrael. For those just few moments that he would get with Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, by the way, you know, we shouldn't dismiss those raw moments. You know, if you can imagine, this is probably the greatest episode in, you know, divine interaction with humanity in history, and you want to be the first one to hear about that, right? It's not just about the autograph here. It's about actually hearing what Moshe Rabbeinu went through, right? Moshe Rabbeinu comes down. He's radiant. This is certainly the third time he comes down. So Yoshua wants to capture those moments, but that's how desperately he wants it, is that he'll go and pitch his tent. And by the way, as you know, people do pitch tents for things, right? You know, so for instance, you know, let's think about the fourth Thursday in November, right? People do kinds of interesting things. They pitch their tents in parking lots of all kinds of shopping centers, right? Just for the possibility of being able to beat somebody else up to get a new microwave oven, you know, at a sale. I mean, like, you know, people do these kind of things. So what he's saying is that if you want to become wise, if you want to, right, then it requires your passion for something which is important, and that's what Yoshua was displaying. That's why he, more than anybody else, everybody else is fine. They're going to take the lecture the next morning, and Moshe Rabbeinu refreshen up the next day, take a coffee, and then listen to the shiur. That wasn't Yoshua's approach. He wanted to hear it fresh as Moshe Rabbeinu comes radiating down the mountain. And therefore, the Midrash goes one step further. He says, "V'hinei Yisra Chazal." He quotes the Chazal, this last paragraph on page Reishonon. Lechem abirim ochal ish. This is quoting a pasuk in Tehillim. The powerful bread the man ate. What does it refer to? The Midrash explains. Ze Yehoshua sheyorad. Actually, the Gemara in Yuma Ayin Vav and Aleph. Yehoshua sheyorad loy man keneged kol Yisrael. This is Yehoshua who man, the manna fell for him in front of all of Israel. Okay, what does that mean exactly? It doesn't mean to say that he had, you know, the same truckload that everybody else got. No, he's not getting through that, right? He doesn't need that much, right? What does it mean? He got the man in front of a kenega, like the same amount as all Israel. If you're among the community, then this is a chus, the merit of the community. So let's say you're in a good community. The community warrants a certain amount of parnasa. So being part of that, hopefully you spiritually too are part of that. Hopefully that's the opportunity. And that's what chus practice. And you don't need personal chus, rather because you're part of the communal chus. Ki aman yored bischus haklal koloi. Ach, hanifrad min haklal, afilo enu misrachek elag bekmiksas, kvaru nitzrach lischus atzmis. Let's say you decided you're going to go off on your own. Right? You're going to go on your own track. So the moment you go on your own track now, you have to explain to the Ribbono Shel Olam why you independently have the schus to get what you need in this world, right? Because you aren't submerged in communal needs, you're in individual needs. So tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why is it you need deserve it? So he says, that's what it means by Yehoshua. What does it mean by Yehoshua? It says, V'zeh Shomer Chazal, she'yored lo'y man k'neged kol Yisrael. Shoy, so z'chusa she'kulo k'neged kol Yisrael. U'k'shem. So here you have Yehoshua, who leaves at this prime moment in Jewish history. He's no longer among the community, right? He leaves the community. Why is he leaving the community? Because of his absolute adherence to Moshe Rabbeinu. He wants to be with Moshe Rabbeinu every moment of the day. But by doing so, he potentially jeopardizes his experience of, or perhaps always protection from, all the outside elements as being part of a card-carrying member of Klal Yisrael, because he's tense outside. So the Midrash assures us, the Gemara tells us, that he still gets man connected to Klal Yisrael. That's how powerful his chus was, that even on individual level, he wanted what the Klal was getting on their communal level. That's the degree that it goes to.
But did the man continue when Yehoshua took over?
Very good question. So actually, when they entered Eretz Yisrael, they lost it all. Yeah. So that's a very interesting irony that you're pointing out, is that when he actually became the leader, no longer. But that wasn't a function of Yehoshua as much, rather a function of place. When they left the Midbar, they had this. But during the Midbar, even though he was, in a certain sense, you know, outside of the bubble of community, he was still treated like his own community. And that's because of why? Because of his desire for wisdom. So what his argument is, what you see Racham Shalev is explaining to us, is that his desire for every moment of Shimush, of Torah, was so great that it took him out at the threat of his own success, but nonetheless, he was still able to succeed. That's the chiddush of that he's suggesting here. He gives another example, very interesting example, where he describes how Rabbi Yosef talked about Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. Rabbi Pinchas, this is not related to Chochman, but it's nonetheless a very, very fascinating idea, and that is that Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, it says there was a story where he came to a river, and the river split for him. Right. There are stories that happens, you know, later on in different Chassidus.
We discussed about another story from the Gemara Chum where his donkey didn't eat.
Nachon, yes. So there's many miraculous stories that go on with Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair.
He was greater than.
So that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says is that Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair k'moshe v'shis and rivsan, that he was like all of the 600,000 people who left Egypt. What does it mean? So the answer is when all of Israel was in front of the Red Sea. Yes, it makes a lot of sense that Kadosh Baruch Hu split the sea. Not doesn't make sense in terms of, like, you know, natural sense, but in terms of we'll call it the spiritual bank account. Yes, there's enough to warrant a salvation, right? But now you have one individual in front of the river. Like, where's his credit card? Like, what's his credit limit? You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you warrant a miracle like that? So you see that there are certain individuals that, despite the fact that they're outside of the bubble, they still have the ability to be able to draw that amount, that magnitude of zchus. That's a remarkable thing. And Yehoshua is the example. Why? Because of his not a willingness not to leave to lose a moment of wisdom or or shimush. What also you see from here, just tangentially, is not as directly connected to this, is that the information that Yeshua was getting wasn't simply binary information. So it wasn't like, you know, if he managed to download from Moshe Rabbeinu the file and put it into his, you know, external hard drive afterwards, he would have the information from Moshe Rabbeinu. It was the experience of Moshe Rabbeinu that he was talking about, right? I mean, that experience is irreplaceable. It's not necessarily about even what Moshe Rabbeinu said. It's perhaps how Moshe Rabbeinu looked. It's how Moshe Rabbeinu walked. It's how Moshe Rabbeinu talked. It's the way that Moshe Rabbeinu, the intonation, right? That's what he was looking to get. And that information, that experience was so valuable to Yeshua that he wasn't willing to miss even one moment of it. You know, so you know, one has to think about how far one goes, where one pitches one tent for to be able to have opportunities of such connection. He goes on to the Ramban. He quotes the Ramban here, who gives a very fascinating insight, and that is that he quotes a Baal HaTurim. If you take a look in the second last paragraph on page Reish Nunav, it's in the quotation of the pasuk. It says in the third line, Roshei Bnei Yisrael Hema, they were all the 12 spies, including Yehoshua, with the heads of Bnei Israel, and the Baal HaTurim says, Shehoyu Kulam Sarei Chamishim. They were all the heads of the 50s, which means, because the word Hema is the Gematria Chamishim, as the Baal HaTurim says. Now, just to understand how the court system worked, or the leadership structure worked in Israel, is it worked like this. It was Sarei Chamishim, Sarei Alafim, Sarei Me'o, Sarei Chamishim, Sarei Asareis, which means to say, there were different levels of jurisdictions of leadership. There were leaders who had 1,000 people under the jurisdiction, 100 people under the jurisdiction, 50 people, and 10 people. Now, clearly, the person who has 10 people under them doesn't mean to say necessarily that there would be a judge every 10 houses. But it probably means to say that there's sort of leadership responsibility. You know, on, let's say, one block of houses in one apartment building, there'd be one representative who would be kind of the leader, and he would be the go-between for complicated disputes that were going on, you know, between tenants and neighbors and whatever else it was. But it's interesting that who within a CM, according to this version of the Baal HaTurim, is the Sarei Chamishim, which means to say in the leadership structure, they are only tier
two.
They're like, you know, they're not the tens, they're the 50s. They're not even the hundreds or the thousands, right? So that means to say that why were they chosen? Like, you know, pick somebody who's like higher pickings, been promoted managers of more people then. Why is there only people who are in charge of 50 people? So his answer is that no, it wasn't because of the sheer amount of people they're responsible for, it was for because the fact that they cared enough. These are people who excelled themselves, or perhaps Yeshua excelled in care, who excelled in wanting more. So here's his example over here. He says, the third last line, uva al, the second last word, va'al korcha, it must be shebemala zu shel ish asher ruach boy, the notion of having the spirit with them. Yehoshua was the greatest of all them. That these are people who wanted more. They wanted to get the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it doesn't make a difference, you know, like what the golden plaque says on the door, right? It doesn't make a difference how many employees are under your jurisdiction. What does matter is how many people you care about, how much you care about wisdom, how much you really want to.
Is there any time Chumash with the Nesim are actually praised for anything? But it seems like they're always just criticized for everything that they do.
So, yeah, it's a great question. It's a great question. You know, it does seem that there is another version. There is another famous version which says that they were actually the greatest of leaders, you know, so that there is such a thing. What is interesting is there's another entity also called the Zakedim, who was very great, lavishly praised. They were the ones who were sort of the taskmasters in Israel, the Jewish taskmasters who took extra beatings, and because of that they later on in Parshas Baal Yisro got some level of nevuah. But nonetheless, over here, it's ambiguity. There's a little ambiguity. The way you usually see Bess and Rashi is that, no, these are the greatest in Siam. Baal HaTurim is giving us more of an ambiguous kind of sort of gray area, and so therefore their unusualness was not necessarily in their station, but in their aspiration. That's the Chiddush, she says. So again, up to here is just, we're taking a look at Shlomo HaMelech, now we take a look at Yehoshua. His argument is Yehoshua's leadership was a function of his wish and will to learn. That's where he got it from. And therefore, that's the kind of person you want to be teaching.
But why do we assume that the people that had jurisdiction over more didn't also want? I mean,
Nachon, so you're right. He's forced into this corner by the Baal HaTurim by saying that it must be there's something else about them which other people don't have, because otherwise why would they be chosen? That's the breakdown of logic. We're going to skip the next section just for a moment. This is about Yehuda and Tamar. We're going to get more back into knowledge itself. Let's take a quick look at Reshon and Beis, third paragraph in. This is now his suggestion, how do we get there? So he quotes the Gemara Nida on Ayin and Beis, where it says, Tanu Rabbanan, Shnei Masar Dvarim, Shalu Anshe Alexandria, is Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanania. So the people who lived in Alexandria, Alexandria was a large city in Egypt where there was a very, very big Jewish population. They asked Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanania, who came to visit, with 12 things. Ma yase odom v'yechkan. They asked him, how do you become wise? Amalahu, amalahen, yar b'yeshiva v'yemayet b'schara. He says you should spend a lot of time learning, sitting down and thinking, and very little time doing business, right? Meaning to say, whatever you're spending a lot of time in is going to take up your energy, whatever you want to come out with. If you want to come out with being wise, then you can't just be, you can't be at the cash register all day long, or you can't be selling textiles. There has to be, right? Says Amru, Harbe Osukain Veloy Hoyolohem. They said, look, many have tried that, just didn't work out. They just couldn't pay mortgage, right? Wasn't working. Elo Yevakshu Rachmim Mimisha Chochma Shaloi. So the response was no, that you should request Rachamim, you should request mercy from the one who owns Chochma. Shenemar ki Hashem yiten chochma mipiv das usavuna, which is a pasuk actually quoted in the Zehirot, which is said when you're supposed to come into the Beis Medrash in the morning, that Hashem gives das and tuna from his mouth. So it's an interesting point over here. What's going on here? Rashi says, Lama, the next line, Lama le lemeimer lehu, yer bebi yeshiva hoyel varachim hadavar toloi, daha beloi ha loi sagia. Rashi asks a question. So which is it? Is it working hard at it, like yeshiva, spending time learning, or is it asking mercy? Which one is the catalyst over here to wisdom? So his answer is a little bit of both. Coming back to the formulation of what's called lev chacham lev. Chacham lev is a combination of a person who's invested a lot of energy, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "You invest so much energy, I'll endow you with the rest." But the point is it takes two to tango. Therefore, that's what he says. And the second one, he says, "Kolamar ala adam la'asoy." Says, "Kol ha'ishtadlus ha'efshariyit." Person needs to do everything possible within their ability la'hakim to become wise. V'yachad im zois, and with this, tzarichu le'tfila le'uvakoshes rachamim. He needs to also daven for it. V'hinei b'midas ha'ishtadlus nis parsha gemara yir be'yishuv v'imayt b'schara. The ishtadlus aspect of it is you know, come, learn, spend time, think, take off time, listen to shirim, right? Says, what is the other part of it? How do we understand asking for it? So what are you asking exactly? So you come, you take a class, you go to a shir, you're there, you're trying to crack your head on the Mishnah, the Gemara, the Mefarish, the Torah. What's this you vakesh rachamim?
You also say atachor en ladam dat.
Nachon, same thing there, right? Means the first thing we ask for, the first request in the 13 requests of Shmoneh is vakasha, is chenen adas. So what are you asking for? So his example is the third character we're meeting tonight, and that is Osnel ben Kenaz. He says, Dovar zenil mamit filosofal Osnel ben Kenaz, di isla gobi gomorrah tomorrow. Who is Osnel, by the way?
He's a shofet.
Osnel was one of the earlier shoftim. He was one of the great leaders after Yehoshua ben Nun. After Yehoshua dies, there was a Zakanian. It seems to be a little anarchy. And then the first thing that happens is that we have Osnel ben Kenaz who takes control after Yehoshua at the beginning of the book of Shoftim. The Gemara says in Temura, Dechsiv vayikra yaavetz lelokei Yisrael, leimor im yivorech tvorcheni verbisa es gvuli vahisa yadcha ami imi veosisa mir'eh levilti atzavi v'yavoy elokim es asher sho'al. So the pasuk is that he calls out to Hashem, and he says, this is quoting in Divrei Hayamim, which is recounting what's going on in Shoftim. If you're going to bless me and expand my boundary and my hand will be with you, then and allow me pasture, so to speak, so that you're not going to make me sad. He says, then Hashem responded to what he asked. So now the Medrash, or this Gemara over here in Temura, annotates. So what the Gemara frequently does is it passes out a pasuk, and each phrase it adds something to. So here's how it goes. In Borech Tavorchen, he says, if you're going to bless me, he says, but Torah, that means with if you're going to bless me with the ability to understand Torah. V'yirbi ha'yisias gvulin, you expand my knowledge, my boundaries, but Talmidim, allow me to teach to others. V'yisi yadcha imi, and your hand's going to be with me, shalai yishtakach talmudai miribi, that I won't forget what I've learned. Vasisa Mireya, and you'll make pasture for me. She is Damnuli Ra'im. Ra'im Kamoi said, I'll have colleagues to talk with. It's not just going to be, I'm going to be my Avital by myself. Levilti Atavi, not to make me sad. You see, he's taken each phrase in this pasuk. Shaloi Yiskaveni Yetzara Milshanos. And that I won't be convinced by my indulgences to change or to leave this. Imato Osakain, Mutav, that's great, of Hashem, if you allow me to do this. V'im lav, and if not, Hareni Holech Benisisi. I'm going to die in sadness. That's what he says. Miyad, the Midrash responds, Vayavoy Elokim es asher sho'al. Vayavoy Elokim es asher sho'al. Hashem brings what he asked for. So the conversation, sort of the subtext of the conversation is he asks for all these things, which are all intellectual properties. They're not, it sounds very much like Shlomo, it's not nothing physical. And if you're going to give this to me, good. If not, I'm dead. That's what Osniel Ben Knaz does. So what Rav Chaim Shlomo points in is that there's one extra addition to this conversation which isn't clear in the pasuk. Meaning, everything over here, we're expanding the words of the pasuk except for one thing, and that is the word miyad. The Midrash says, immediately he was given all of this. Why immediately? Like, wow, on what grounds did he deserve this? So the answer is because he viewed this as a zero-sum game. It's either having the ability to understand your Torah and your life, Hashem, and being able to deserve, to desire and live with wisdom, or it's not life. There's something missing right there. I can't live not being able to. I'm broken without it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, that's the way you look at it. Then I have to give it to you, right? But that's the same kind of thing with Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech, what would you like in life? So Shlomo HaMelech could have just said, you know, let's guarantee health right now, and then I'll work on the wisdom later. He didn't say that. He said, the prerequisite for everything else is wisdom. So therefore, once you get there, then miyad, yes, I'll give it to you. That's a very, very powerful thing. By the way, Osniel Ben Knaz was no second-rate Talmud. He was, in fact, the one who returned 300 halachas which were lost at the times of Yehoshua ben Nun, when Yehoshua died, and he was the one who himself regained them. But the point is that he couldn't live without it. Finally, last person to look about is actually a very fascinating one. This is Iyov. Take a look at this. Take a look at the top of the next page. Reshon and Gimel. The Chemot Sinu B'Iyov. He lived in a terrible situation. Superhuman suffering that he went through. And more. Hashem basically gave him over to the Satan, to the prosecuting agent. When he's given the free license, that's bad news. At least return to his previous condition. You know, by the way, why was he given in the hands of the Satan? Like, what's this whole game? Why did this happen? More about Basra here, you're familiar? What happened to Eov? Like, why was the Satan given free reign?
He was terrible. A good man at everything. It was easy for him to be happy.
Great, exactly. So that was the conversation. So the Gemara says that Akash Baruch Hu made a comment to the Satan and says, have you seen Eov? He's like Avram Avinu. So the Satan says, really? He says, well, you know, he's got everything going for him. So, of course, he's going to be great. He's got riches, he's got family, he's got children, he's got health, he's got everything going for him. So, of course, he's going to be good. Right? So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, you don't understand. He's got it in him. He can serve me in all capacities. And so the Satan says, I'd like to see that. So Hashem says, Hinoi biyodcha. Go for it. So that's what the Satan did. The Satan suddenly took away every aspect of his life. The Satan took away his wealth first, his family second, and his health last, right? So sort of in concentric circles diminishing around him to the point where Eov was so hurt, was so tortured at that point in time, where that's what the Satan brought him down to. And actually, by the way, Eov did break. He did snap at the end. And the point of the Eov is learning. Eov learning or relearning his life and reconstituting himself. So you'd imagine in such a situation, Rachman al-Islan, where a person is at the whim of the Satan himself, what would you ask for? I mean, like, what would you say you'd like? So he says, at least ask just for relief, right? Just relief from everything you're going through. If not, return to your original status. So he says, ach, after the little parenthesis, Eov lo histapek bazeh. That was not enough for him. V'kach bikesh, what did he ask for? Mi yitneini ki yarchi koidem kimei eloika yishmereni. Who will give me? It's a very enigmatic verse. Will make me kiyarchi, like sort of like either like my a thigh or like the moon. Koidem at the beginning. Kiyemei elokai yishmoreni. What does that mean? Omru gemara nida. Ezu yomim shiyesh bohem yirachim. What are the days which have are measured by months, so like the moon? and doesn't have years. These are the moons or the months of pregnancy. Rabbi Simla says, and this is a famous statement which we're akin to hearing, but it's actually in this context. What is the a fetus similar to in utero? It's in a state of serenity where there has this all-encompassing immersion of wisdom, where they sort of expansive consciousness. So that this is the most beautiful time that a person ever has in their life, is when they're in utero, when they have this expanded sense of consciousness. They don't have to be worrying about anything, and they have this sort of this immersion in spiritual pleasure and understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what do you say? So he says like this: Iyov lo shal revach v'atzalah miyisurav. He didn't ask for suffering, for relief of suffering. But like bikesh es ha'oyesher v'ha'oyesher, he didn't ask for happiness or wealth. Shal yulai b'mei tovaso, which he had previously. And a bikesh dafka es tachlis ha'shleimas ha'toyev shal yarchei kodem ha'ogam kodem ke'ubar b'mei imor. Yerachim shem k'chay olam abal mamash. Kach tzirach l'vakesh. He says, give me that space of serenity. It's interesting. Like, you know, when you read this and you read, like, Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning, it's interesting. Like, you hear some, he arrives the same concepts through his Eov-like experiences, where he has everything taken from him, but if he can hold on to his aspirations, to what keeps him going, his personally subjective meaning is his wife and his work, his PhD, which he was wanted to publish in psychology. And that to him, his desire to have that space was what kept him going. What he's saying is that Eov, in his abject suffering, was able to say, it's not about, you know, getting, you know, the warm coffee in the morning and the massage in the evenings and having fireside chats with the family. It was about that sort of inner space and inner meaning which could keep him going. That's a very powerful idea, which is very true, because you have lots of people in life who have lots of everything and they lead to terribly depressing lives. And there are people who have absolutely nothing and lead, serene and placid and beautiful and purposeful lives. So what you see over here is that the currency is not necessarily what's being described in God We Trust, if you know what I'm saying, or in green. So that's what Eov is demonstrating over here. And finally, so as a conclusion, just to like sort of line up what we've done, then perhaps conclude with the last very powerful idea, and that is that he says that in Vayakal we talk about the leadership team is Chacham Lev. What is a Chacham Lev? A Chacham Lev is a person who doesn't just get Chachma, a person who desires Chachma so much that God Baruch Hu says, you know what, I have to give it to you. Examples are Yeshua and his willingness to even extradite himself from the cloud in order to spend that time with Moshe Rabbeinu. Shlomo HaMelech, whose first request in the face of all other requests was wisdom as opposed to all other basic Maslow hierarchy of needs which should come before self-actualization. And then we looked at Othniel ben Knaz, who seemingly sort of put it as an ultimatum between death and living in an inspired existence, right? That's what we're seeing. And finally, with Eov's retreat to a place of meaning wasn't a retreat to expansion physically, but rather spiritual sort of serenity. And finally, his last concluding line is this, and this is a very, very powerful idea. He talks about the story when Elisha, in Melachim Beis Perek Dalet, talks about, he comes across, it's actually one of the Torahs, he comes across a woman whose husband was actually, the Midrash fills us in, was Ovadia, who saved a lot of the Nevi'im. Because he saved a lot of the Nevi'im, he was supporting 50 in one cave, 50 in another cave, I believe, and he spent all his personal assets supporting his Nevi'im, were being persecuted by Ahav and Yezebel, and because he died in debt, she has debts to pay, she has nothing to pay, there's no one to look after her. So Elisha takes upon himself to help us. What does he do? He tells her the following. He says, "Kishabo Elisha," in the second last paragraph, "Lahatzil es yaladeh shel anshe aishes alvadia miyad anoshe," from the creditor. "Ksiv vayamer lechi shali lecha loch kelim minachutz, borrow from yourself vessels from the outside, ma'es kol shchenav kelim rekim al tamit." You go and get every single pots, pans, jugs, vases, everything you can get. And you take the oil, she has one flask of oil, pour it into all of them. We know that the miracle is that what happens is that she pours and it carries on pouring and it fills up everything and she's able to sell the oil. The oil is obviously a prime a prime commodity at the time, and she's able to sell it, pay off the debtors, and she has now what to live with. So he says, even though the shemen is going to increase by miracle, you still have to get ready, you still have to have the vessels there, right? Kilomar is based on kibul. You need to have the container. You've got to get the vessels ready. Hashem will organize that there'll be enough oil to pour into the vessels. But if there ain't any vessels, if you aren't interested in finding out the information, if it doesn't matter to you, then it's not going to matter to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to endow it to you. That's the way that he looks at it. This is the balance that he says. So coming back to the original pasuk, the original pasuk is where he says is v'leiv kol chacham leiv nosati chochma. In the heart of those who are wise, that's where I put wisdom. Meaning, you need to want it, then I'll give it. You don't want it, I don't care to give it. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at it. So the starting point about learning or about becoming a person who learns Torah is not about the information, it's about caring about it. That's his example. I think we see this so truly today. We see that in an overload, as we looked at today, an overload of entertainment, of information, the only information that really counts is the information you care about. That's the notion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anyways,
Where should we
dive in, Rabbi? It's on here.